Amen. It must be a tremendous privilege to sing with your daughter and as a daughter to sing with her mother. In Isaiah 6 this morning, you know, as they were singing, it reminded me, y'all know I love Charles Spurgeon. Many people don't know that his father and his grandfather were both ministers. And Spurgeon was scheduled to preach at a church and got delayed because the train was running slow. And so his grandfather stood up and told the congregation, he said, I know that someone else, my grandson was scheduled to preach, and but he said this. He said, there is no gospel that he can preach that's greater than what I'm going to preach, but he can preach it greater than I can. And he started preaching. He preached halfway through the sermon, and Spurgeon showed up late. And so he told Spurgeon the text he was on, the first two points of his sermon, and sat down, and Spurgeon finished the sermon for him. But just a wonderful thing to see. And thank you all for sharing. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. I'm in Isaiah 6 this morning. Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 1. If you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand at the honor of the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. He said, Go, tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? He answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the horses without man, the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, Lord, I'd ask that you would speak. Lord, we come before you, fasting, praying, seeking your face, longing to hear your voice. Speak, Lord. Speak loud, speak clear. Lord, may we hear your call, may we surrender to it. May you reveal your will to us. Lord, would you draw men to you? Would you bring conviction of sin? Would you bring conviction of sins forgiven and peace and joy that comes with it? Lord, we are in desperate need of you, and we'd ask that you would send your Holy Spirit even now. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We looked last week at Isaiah's vision, where he sees the Lord sitting on his throne. He sees the angels flying. And we see that he comes and he is overwhelmed with guilt and conviction of his sin. And we saw his need, even as this prophet, of cleansing, this need of forgiveness of sins, this need for God to come and do work. And we saw how this was done by God's grace. This was not something that Isaiah had to work and earn, but if he confessed his sins, God was faithful to forgive and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. Isaiah here has his lips cleansed, his sin is taken away, he is purged, he is made clean. And then we come to our text for today, where he hears the voice of the Lord. Now we don't know what is going on here. We don't know the time frames because he doesn't speak here. When he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord, we don't know exactly how all this works. We don't know whether God has been speaking this whole time and Isaiah can't hear him, or whether God has chosen not to speak because Isaiah is sinful and cannot hear his voice. But this is one thing we do know from this text, and that is Isaiah does not hear God's voice until he is cleansed. And that is a very, very important point for us this morning. You know, I talk to people all the time and they'll say, I can't understand what God is saying. We all know the passage in James that if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And people tell me, I'm praying. I don't hear anything. Could it be possible that there's some sin in your life that keeps you from hearing his voice? You know, I would submit to you that God may have been speaking this entire time, but Isaiah couldn't hear. It's Isaiah that tells us that our sin hides God's face from us. So Isaiah tells us this. We don't know if he got that from this experience or not, or from elsewhere. But it is very true. If we desire to hear from God, we first must be cleansed. I talk with people all the time, and when people have questions and they need to make decisions, many times they'll call me, they'll talk with me, they'll come by, they'll send me an email. What do I do in this situation? I'm praying, I don't know what to do. And many times, the answer is very obvious to someone who's outside, and that is, well, you're living in sin. God already told you what to do, and he wrote it down for you. And we look at those things sometimes and we ignore them. And we keep going on in our conflicts and our problems and our divisions. And we can't see how God would resolve them because we have a beam in our eye that makes us blind. People come to me all the time, what do I do about my spouse? What do I do about my child? What do I do about my grandchild? What do I do about my parents? What do I do about my brother-in-law? Well, what do I do about so-and-so within the church? What do I do about this situation or this person at work? How do I handle these situations? One thing we miss in Matthew 7, where Jesus speaks about having a beam in your eye, he says that when the beam is removed, he says this, then you will see clearly. And many times the reason we don't have wisdom is because we have not been cleansed. We can't see clearly how to resolve the issue with a child, a spouse, someone else in the family, because we have a beam in our own eye of hatred, bitterness, refusal to forgive. We have a beam in our own eye of lying, deception, dishonesty. And what we need, if we are going to have God speak to us, is we need first and foremost to be cleansed, or we'll never hear his voice. You know, is this not a day in which we live in which we need God to speak? Do we not live in a very dark time where we need God to speak? May I submit to you, he won't speak until we repent. Or more properly, he'll speak, but our sin will keep our fingers in our ears. And we must first be cleansed. When we talk about fasting and praying, the very first part of that is repentance. It's seeking to be clean. It's seeking for the Lord to search your soul and search your heart so that you might confess your sin as Isaiah did, be forgiven, and then hear his voice. Isn't this what happens with Daniel? When Daniel begins to seek the Lord, he fasts and he prays and he confesses his sin and the sin of his people. Then his answer comes. We must be a people who are clean if we ever expect to hear God's voice. We can't stick our fingers in our ears and expect to hear what God has to say, but we do that. We don't like what God has to say about a particular situation, so we stick our fingers in our ears and wonder why he won't speak about another situation. We have to repent. We have to be clean. Isaiah here repents. He is cleansed. He is purged by God's grace. He hears God's voice, and God's speaking here. And we don't know how this all works, but he hears the Lord speaking, and this is what God says. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? The idea of the who will go for us, to me, it puts in my mind that this is almost a discussion within the triune Godhead. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are speaking to one another and saying, who's going to go for us? Now, it's not because God doesn't know. Okay? It's because God knows who is sitting there listening. God is not sitting up there going, oh my goodness, Jesus, what are we going to do? Okay? No, he knows what he's going to do. But this discussion is not directed at the angels. It's not directed at Isaiah. Isaiah hears, though, God's heart. This is what we want to be doing as we fast. We want to be in tune with God so that we weep for the things God weeps for. So that we rejoice in the things that bring God joy. So that we know what is on God's heart and mind. Isaiah, now that he's cleansed, knows what's on God's heart and mind. God is looking for a volunteer. Notice what Isaiah says next. Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, in my crazy little imagination, I view just the halls of heaven, and I view Isaiah kind of over in this little corner, saying, me, pick me, I'm over here, pick me. But I want you to notice something here. He volunteers, and he has no idea what he's going to do. Who's going to go for us? Go where? Isaiah says, I'll go. Where? He doesn't know. Send me, I'll go. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. Notice that Isaiah here is a complete volunteering for service, a complete surrender. He gives God a blank check. Just blank check. Hey, I signed my name Isaiah. You tell me what to do the rest of it. You tell me where to go, I'll go. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. You tell me what to say, I'll say it. He completely gives his life to the Lord. Here I am. Do with me as you will. Here I am. Send me. He doesn't know what he's volunteering for. Notice there's none of the excuses that we're so prone to give. Okay? Well, God may be calling me to preach, and I'm not very good at standing in front of people. Well, God may be calling me to go to the mission field, but I don't know how I'm going to handle being away from my family. Well, God may be calling me to go here, but how am I going to afford that? He doesn't say, okay, God, tell me what you're going to ask me to do, and then I'll decide if I can do it. Because what God is looking for is not people of ability. God is looking for people who are available. If you read in 1 Corinthians 1, we're told that God doesn't choose the wise. He chooses the foolish. He doesn't choose the people of renown and the people of ability. He chooses the people that don't have ability. Why? So that no flesh would glory in his presence. So that Jesus Christ would receive all the glory. What I want to speak to you about this morning is surrendering yourself to the Lord's service. Giving God a blank check. Saying to the Lord, here I am. Send me. And you say, well, I don't know what he wants me to do. Well, you'll find out after you volunteer. You say, that's scary. Don't you believe that God loves you? Don't you believe that God has a greater knowledge of you in the future than you will ever have? Don't you believe that God desires the very best for you? Would you not surrender your life to him? You see, this is the whole point of us fasting, is so that we would be clean, hear the voice of God, and say, here I am. Whatever you have called me to do, I will do it. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whoever you want me to speak to, I will speak to. Here I am. You see, because what God is looking for is surrendered people. God is not looking for the person who's got it all together, the person who knows everything, the person who's a tremendously great, naturally gifted person. God is looking for the person who is surrendered and will give the Lord whatever he wants. That is what God is looking for, and that's Isaiah. Isaiah says, here I am. He completely, totally surrenders his life. He has no idea what he's doing, though. But then notice this. After he agrees to go, guess where he finds out he's going? Right back to where he came from. He's going right back home. He's going right back to his hometown, going right back to his homeland, going right back to his people. But I want you to notice God tells him something pretty discouraging. He says, yeah, you're the man, Isaiah. You go. And you go preach, 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 and I'll make sure nobody listens. That's what he says. You go show them what I've told them to say, and I'll blind their eyes so they can't see it. You go preach to them, and I'll close their ears so they can't hear you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of where you're going to go, but Lord, why am I going? But you see, God defines success as faithfulness. That's the way God defines success. You know, I want to illustrate it to you in a very simple way. Most of y'all know what a lug nut is, right? Okay, it's a little thing that holds your tire on your car. You know what a lug nut does? It gets tightened on and it stays there. Through wind, through rain, through hot, cold, summer, winter, ice, snow. And you know what? You forget about them until they don't do their job. And when your tire comes off, you know what? You realize it's the lug nut's fault. The whole purpose of the lug nut is to be faithful. That's it. It's just supposed to hold on and hold on tight through all kinds of weather. No matter what happens, it is supposed to do its job. And we could look at just across here and just think of, you know, pews, what is their purpose? To be faithful. They sit here. You know, when we go home, they still sit here. But you know what happens when one of them breaks when you sit down? You get mad at the pew. You see, God has called you to be faithful, to obey Him, and that is it. He's not called you to some tremendous ministry where all of a sudden you're a tremendous success in the eyes of the world. All He's called you to be is faithful. Will that result in some level of success in the eyes of the world? Maybe. More than likely, you'll end up in prison like Paul. You may be stoned to death like Stephen. You may go down like thousands of faithful people whose names are never recorded in the history books because we have no idea who they were. But they changed the course of history because they did what God told them to do. Isaiah is called to do something that has no earthly success. May I remind you, what does God say when you stand before Him at the end of the day? Well done, good and successful servant. No. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, as a pastor, I'm going to speak for myself personally, and I think you can apply it to your own context. There is a temptation for every pastor. Every pastor wants to go to a church, like three people, preach for like 5 minutes, and the church be 10 million people overnight. And then they get their names in all the preacher magazines, and they get their sermons everywhere, and everybody invited them to all the conferences and all these other things. That's what every preacher wants. But the temptation with that desire is to compromise. To compromise for that which is popular. To compromise to not offend people. But what God has called me to do is what He called Jeremiah to do and what He called Isaiah to do. God told Jeremiah, you just go to who I tell you to go to and you say what I tell you to say, and that's the end of it. You know, I know many times when I preach, there's going to be people that get mad and leave the church. I'm not here to have a big church. God hasn't called me to that. You know, there's times when I have to meet with people and I know what I'm going to tell them. They're not going to like to hear it. But at the end of the day, I don't get welcomed into heaven because people like me. I get welcomed into heaven because I'm faithful to what God has called me to do. The same thing happens. I know for many of you mothers, there's this pressure out there of, you know, the mommy wars of, you know, are you feeding your kid the right food? And are you nursing them long enough and carrying them in the right sling and all of these other things that go on and all this pressure is put on you? At the end of the day, who cares what any mother in the world thinks? Are you doing what God has called you to do to raise your children to love and serve Him? That is the question. You know, there's a temptation to go after the American dream. The people are going to make fun of you for the car you drive or for the home that you live in or the neighborhood you live in. They're going to make fun of you if your clothes are this way or that way. Who cares? If God says, well done. And all God asks of you is to be faithful. He doesn't ask of you to be wealthy. He doesn't ask of you to drive a nice car, have a nice home. He doesn't ask of you to wear nice clothes. He doesn't ask of you to have the applause of men. All He asks you to do is exactly what He's told you to do and nothing more. And to do it no matter what happens. You know, we look at people like Paul and we go, wow, I want to be like him. You want to join him in prison? We talked in Sunday school this morning about Demas, who said, you know what, this isn't worth it, and walked away. We're not in it for the money. We're not in it for the applause of man. We're in it for the glory of God. And at the end of the day, if He says, well done, good and faithful servant, that's all that matters. You know, there's going to be times when people hate you. There's going to be times when people yell and scream at you. Times when people spit in your face. Times when people are mean. Times when people say all kinds of nasty things about you. And you know what you need to do? You need to go in and get on your knees and say, Lord, can I look you square in the face at the end of the day for the way I did things? And if you can, then get up and move on. Because that's what matters. Have you been faithful to what God has told you to do? Not are you a success. So often we say, I'm a failure because I shared the gospel with this person and they didn't confess faith in Christ right away. No, you did what you were told to do, and that's a success. You were faithful to share the gospel the way God commanded you to. So in all of this, I would ask you to get out of your bulletins. There's a little sheet in your bulletin called Service Opportunities. The whole point of this time of prayer and fasting is for us as a people, for us as a church, to repent, to receive God's cleansing, to receive the forgiveness of sins, to know that we are clean in His sight, and then to surrender, to say, Lord, here I am. Now, these are things that God may be saying to you, and these are things that God may not be saying to you. But these are things that you need to pray about. These are things that God calls people to do. And you need to sit there and not say, nope, can't do that, won't do that. You need to say, Lord, you tell me what it is. If it's on the sheet of paper, if it's not on the sheet of paper, here I am. You need to completely surrender your life for His service. You need to say, Lord, here I am. Here's a blank check. You fill in the blanks. Here am I. Send me to whoever. Send me wherever. Call me to do whatever, and I will do it. Here I am. Several things to think about. Becoming a member of Antioch. Many of you attend here on a frequent basis. Maybe you need to covenant with us. Maybe God is calling you somewhere else. Then you need to go and covenant with them. Maybe God is calling you to attend church here on Sunday evenings. Come pray with us in prayer meeting. Come as a man and pray with us in the men's prayer meeting Wednesday night. Maybe go into the Bible studies on Tuesday. Maybe God is calling you to get involved in Sunday school. To come and hear more about the Word of God. To learn more, to share more, to get involved in a much smaller group of people so you can get involved and know them and begin to be hospitable with them and share life with them and have a more of a sense of a community. Maybe God is calling you to be a part of our prayer chain. You know, there's going to be untold millions of people in heaven that all they did was they were faithful to pray. They were on their knees for hours and no one ever knew it because they were in the closet with the door shut. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do, to be a prayer warrior. Oh, that's not glamorous, and no, you don't really ever see success, but you're faithful. You're faithful to lift up these requests in prayer. Maybe God's calling you to help with children. Maybe be a foster parent. Maybe to do respite care for foster parents. Listen, there's a lot of hurting children in this world that need godly people that will reach out to them. And you think along those lines, even children with special needs. Our society hates children with special needs, discards them. We're talking a couple weeks about being pro-life and talking about abortion, what the Bible says about it. You know, if you are diagnosed with Down syndrome in the mother's womb, that is a death sentence in our society. And we need Christian people that will say, no, I want those type of children in my home. Because God loves them. Maybe you need to pray about doing a guardian ad litem. That's a great thing for someone who's retired. What you do is you fight for the best interest of kids for our court system. You need to pray about that. We need Christians seeing godly wisdom. Okay? We all know the system's broken. Well, then Christians need to change it and get involved. Maybe babysit for parents. Maybe help mothers in the cry room. Maybe say, hey, you know, I'm going to spend one Sunday a month. I'm going to be back there and I'm going to just rock babies. I mean, how many grandmothers want to go to heaven and rock babies? Well, start now. Okay? Start now volunteering, helping parents, helping single moms when they come with their children. Maybe God is calling you to give more financially. Maybe to the church. Maybe to some Christian ministry. Maybe God's calling you to give more to the poor, to the homeless in Gainesville. Maybe God's calling you to give more to missions. You know, you can give to Lottie Moon, but you can also give to the IMB all year. You can give to foreign missionaries anytime you so desire. Okay? Maybe it's something like Heart Cry Missionary Society. This is a missions organization my wife and I support. It's run by Paul Washer, where they train people to reach their own people. And they go and they share with them, they teach these pastors who have no training whatsoever, how to go back and reach their own people. Okay? Maybe sponsor a missionary. The Connors are going to be here in a couple weeks. You know, our church gives $1,000 a year to the Connors. I know some of you already give out of your own pocket to them. But, you know, if we just had 10 families give $20 a month, we just tripled our support for them. Pray about that. Pray about supporting missionaries. Maybe sponsor a missionary through Gospel for Asia. For just a few dollars a month, you can put a native Asian reaching his own people. You can buy him a bicycle so he can travel more and not have to be on feet and foot as much. Okay? Pray about these things. Maybe God wants you to serve here. Serve as a deacon. Serve as an elder. Maybe teach. Maybe God's calling you to preach. You say, oh, not me. No, you need to say, here I am. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. That's the attitude you need to have. I was reading this past week about John Knox. And John Knox was asked to preach. And he went and cried and left the church crying. Okay, if you know anything about John Knox is one of the most powerful spine of steel men that has ever walked the face of this earth. And when he was first asked to preach, he left the church crying. Until he knew that that's what God had called him to do, and he became a man on fire for God. With a backbone of steel that literally changed the entire history of Scotland. Okay? Why? Because he finally heard the voice of the Lord and he said, here I am. You say, I can't preach, I can't teach. Why don't you ask God and let him decide that? There's something called the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching. Charles Spurgeon was so petrified of speaking in front of people, his deacons had to shove him onto the stage. One of the greatest preachers that's ever lived. You see, God is the one who gifts you. You just need to make yourself available to him. You just need to surrender to him and say, here I am. Maybe God is calling you to help in Awana, to mentor one of the kids that we bring, to share the gospel with them, to be the dad that they don't have, to be a godly female influence on them because they don't have that in their home. Maybe God's calling you to usher, to help find people find their ways around, help visitors find bathrooms and find a place to sit. Maybe God's calling you to greet visitors. You know, I love how friendly our church is, but so often I get people, and please don't be offended by this because I'm not upset, but so often I have people come and go, who is that sitting down there by so-and-so? Where are they from? Why are they here? You know what I would love is I would love to get a report from all the church members. Hey, did you meet so-and-so? They were sitting down by so-and-so, and this is why they're here, and this is where they come from, this is where they work, and this is where they live, and I'm having them over to my house this week for dinner. Reach out to them. Okay? That's a very wonderful ministry that God may be calling you to. Okay? Help with the website, help with the sound system, media. Help with the stewardship of what God has given us. God has blessed us. With buildings and money and people. But you know what we need? We need to steward those things wisely. And God may be asking you to help with the stewardship of the finances. Help. I know some of you guys are really good with your hands. And you know what? Nothing is ever broken around your house because as soon as it breaks, you fix it. Well, look at the church. Find something that needs to be painted. Come paint it. Find a bathroom that's broken, a light that's out. Come serve the Lord. It's a tremendous opportunity to use the skills God has given you. Maybe God has given you musical abilities. You know, and even with our choir and the way we want people to serve the Lord, you may say, I don't really have that much ability. Do you have availability? God can give you the strength to give a joyful noise. Okay? Very few people had natural ability to sing. Okay? They learned and they were taught and they practiced. Pray about it. Pray about using the musical gifts to accompany singing, to bless others through the worship of God. Maybe God is calling you to disciple more, to pour your lives into other people. You know what young married couples need? They need older married couples to have them in their home, to be their friends. You know, most of you, when you got married, you remember the first couple, 5, 10, 15 years were pretty rough. Okay? You know what you needed? You needed godly other couples, older couples who have been married 40, 50 years. To invite you into their home, to invest in you, to invest wisdom. Pray about that. Maybe that's what God is calling you to do. You know, there are young men in our church. Some of them that don't have dads. Some of them that don't have father figures in their lives. Some of them do. Invest in their lives. You know what a difference it would make to a young man to take him out to lunch once a month? It'd cost you like $15 at Subway. Okay? If you go to a nice restaurant, maybe $22. But you know what a difference it would make in his life? To sit down and talk with him about his walk with the Lord. He said, I don't know what to say. Well, that's God's problem, not yours. You just surrender and ask him and say, Lord, do you want me to do this? Here I am. Point out the young man. I'll go mentor him. Same thing goes with young ladies. You know, they need older women. Many of the young moms in our church are craving older women who've raised their children correctly to come and help them. You know, you need to pass that on. You need to pray about, Lord, who in our church can I just have over for tea or coffee? Or you just go to a park and I'll help her watch the kids play and we'll talk. To minister to them, disciple them, to do exactly what we're commanded to do in Titus 2. Maybe it's people who are struggling with pornography. You know, 95% of all men inside and outside the church struggle with pornography. 95%. And if you are blessed to be some of the 5% that receive victory by God's grace, you need to go find another young man and bring him out of it. Maybe it's people who struggle with other substances. You know, I know there are former drug addicts and former alcoholics in our church. And you know what? There are people in our community that are alcoholics and drug addicts. And they need someone to come and tell them about God's grace that has delivered them and set them free. Would you say, here am I? Would you say, here I am, Lord? You say, well, I don't got it all together. Neither did Isaiah. God is the one who gets it all together. God is the one who gifts you. You say, well, I don't have the resources. Statement I've said before, you need to get this ingrained in your mind. If it's His will, it's His bill. Okay? If God is the one who's called you to do it, God will provide the resources for it. You need to say, here I am. Whatever you have called me to do, I will do it. People say, well, you know, I may want to adopt kids, but it's expensive. Just say, here I am. I'll adopt them. Lord, you send them. You send the finances. You can make yourself available and let God be the one who provides the resources. Maybe hospitality and opening up your home to use your home. Maybe it's inviting visitors in a church into our home. You know, maybe you need to pray about coming every Sunday with extra food in the crock pot. So that if there's visitors, you can come up and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. We'd love to have you over for lunch. You say, well, what happens if there's no visitors that Sunday? Find a widow and have her over to your house for lunch. Find another couple in the church that you don't know very well. Have them over to lunch. Eat leftovers for a couple days. Okay? But be hospitable. Open your home. Have your neighbors over to share the gospel with them. Okay? Host visiting missionaries and teachers. You know what a difference that'll make in your life? You know, I've encouraged y'all to read through the book of Acts. But if you read through the book of Acts, you know what you find? You find ladies opening up their homes to the apostles on their missionary journeys, saying, stay here when you pass through. Maybe that's what God is calling you to do with your home. Maybe God is calling you to host a Bible study in your home. Maybe God is calling you to adopt a widow, a single mom, a young man, or a young woman. You know, in this week's classes are going to resume, or next week are going to be resuming for UF, and we have college students that come. They need a home away from home. Some of the young men and young ladies that come, okay, they don't come from Christian homes. And they need to know what a Christian home's like. Okay, they may not be in college. They just be a young man or young lady that comes on their own. It may just be an older widow or widower. Invite them into your home. Say, hey, we're going to have them over to our house once a month. Okay, and that way your kids can get to know her and they can go mow the grass for the widow. Make sure all her needs are met. Would you open your home up? Would you say, Lord, here is my home. Do with it as you will. Lord, here is my life. Here is my family. Here are my finances. Here's my food. Here's my dinner table. Do with it as you will. Invite whoever you want to, and I will have them into my home, and I will share the love of Christ with them. Maybe it's missions. Maybe God is calling you to go as a missionary. You know what you need to do? Every single one of us in here, we need to put that on the table. You know what? Many people aren't called to go. We'll talk about it at the end of the sermon. But you know, in many respects, our default option is I'm not going. Our default option needs to be I'm going until I know the Lord has called me to elsewhere. You know, I've heard of men who wanted to go to the mission field and would weep and cry when they realized God had not called them to it. Some of us dance a little jig and say, hey, we get to stay in America. And that's sad. We need to have a heart for the lost people of this world. I read just last night there are 1 billion lost people in India. You know, there's over 1 billion Muslims in this world. And you know what we need to do? We need to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. And my wife and I have been this way. We'll go. And God said, no, you don't go. You go to Gainesville. That's where we want you. Okay? But you know what? If God calls us to Saudi Arabia, we'll go. And everyone who names the name of Christ needs to say, Lord, here I am. You say, I'm old. You know, the IMB supports missionaries who decided to use their retirement in Argentina as missionaries. What a way to spend your retirement. Living for the kingdom of God. You know, maybe you need to pray, you young men especially, about going as a journeyman. Journeyman is for kids who are in like the 20 to 25 range, young men and young women, to go give 2 years of their life on the foreign mission field. Hey, you young men especially need to pray about that. What's 2 years? What's 2 years of your life? Pray about that. Commit to giving the Lord 2 years. Isn't it sad that Mormons will give 2 years of their lives and Christians won't? That Mormons will all give 2 years of their lives and Christians won't. And I speak especially to you young men. You know, my sister was going to do journeyman. You know, one of the reasons she didn't? It's because she found out she was going to be with a whole bunch of ladies and not a single man in a Muslim country. And you know what you'll find? I know several other ladies that have done journeymen. And you know what they'll tell you? They're no men. And we should be ashamed of that. That there are women that are willing to go over and face imprisonment and persecution and death in hostile countries while little boys stay here and shake in their boots. God may not call you to do it, but would you at least say, here I am, if you want me to go, I'll go? Won't you let Him make that decision? Doesn't that mean what it means to surrender and follow the Lord? Would you not come and say, here, Lord, if you want me to go, if you want me to stay, I'll stay. But here I am. Maybe God's not calling you to go for 2 years. Maybe He's just calling you to go for 2 weeks. Maybe He's calling you to go on a short-term mission trip. He'll say, well, I don't know where I should go. Why don't you let God decide that? Just surrender and say, here I am. You know, and as I talk about this, some of you are going, oh, that's my kids and grandkids you're talking to. Yes, and you need to let go of them. That's what baby dedication is. A baby dedication is, here is my child. You do with them as you will, Lord. You send them wherever you want to. Can you imagine what an honor it would be to know that every one of your grandchildren are on the mission field? I mean, think about the alternative. You could have every single one of them on drugs and in prison. What a tremendous privilege to serve the Lord. Maybe God is not calling you to go there, but go home. Go back to your neighborhood. Go back to your place of business. Go back to where you work. Go back to pass out tracts. Share the gospel with your coworkers. Have your neighbors over for a barbecue. Have them over for a Bible study. Share the gospel with your kids' friends and their parents. Share the gospel with your teammates. Maybe God is just calling you to get closer to Him. Maybe God wants you to pray more, to read the Bible more. Maybe God wants you to fast more. I'll give you something to think about and pray about. You know, I've told y'all before, I am no fan of fasting. It is not fun physically. It's not. But I would ask you to pray about tithing your days to the Lord. To fast 37 days this year. To give the Lord a tenth of your days. Why, He's not worth it? No, He's more than worth it. Maybe God is calling you to fast more, to pray more. I know now's probably not a good time to mention that while you're fasting. But you need to ask the Lord. And you say, Lord, here I am. Here's the food I eat. Here's my schedule. Here's my life. Here's my time. Maybe God is calling you to read through the Bible more. Maybe you've never read through the Bible. You know what? It's not too late. Go pick up a reading plan. Read through the Bible this year. Maybe you've read through the Bible once a year for 40 years. Okay, read through it twice this year. Read through it three times this year. Read more. Maybe God is calling you to study a particular subject. To learn what the Bible says about a certain issue. You know, we need that. Okay? We need people in our church who've devoted their lives to studying certain aspects of Scripture so that they can help the congregation to grow in that area of their walk. You know, maybe what God is calling you to do is to do more with your family worship. Maybe you are not worshiping God as a family in your home and you need to begin. That's not an if. God's already written that down for you in Deuteronomy 6. God's already commanded that. This is not a maybe God's calling you to do this. No, God has already told you you're supposed to do that. But maybe in your family devotions, as you pray and worship God together, maybe you should start singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Praise the Lord in your home. Maybe God's calling you to start a catechism to teach your children the foundational truths of the faith. Maybe God is calling you to memorize Scripture as a family. Maybe God's calling you to start a prayer journal as a family, to pray for missionaries. Not just to support them, but to teach your children every day, every morning, every night, to be praying for these missionaries, to read their letters of what God is doing there. Maybe God is calling you to help advance the cause of pro-life. Listen, it is no secret that our nation is under judgment because of how many millions of babies we've killed. And I'm going to be preaching on that in a couple of weeks. But it's time for Christians not just to vote pro-life, but to live pro-life. To do something different. Maybe that's what God has called you to do. Maybe you need to go volunteer at the Women's Resource and Medical Clinic. Okay? Maybe God is calling you to combat sex trafficking that takes place even in the United States and around the world, where young girls are kidnapped and sold as prostitutes. We need Christian men and women to go and sit and preach the deliverance that Jesus Christ brings to those in captivity. Okay? Maybe what God is calling you to do is combat poverty in Alachua County. Maybe what God is calling you to do is to sell your home and move. Say, oh, that's big. Yeah, but when you hand him a blank check, he can do that, you know. When you say, here I am. We've been reaching out to Merrillwood. Maybe God wants you to sell your home. Maybe God wants me to move. To move into a neighborhood just for the sake of the gospel. To reach your neighbors for Jesus Christ. Maybe God's telling you to sell your possessions and downsize for the kingdom. Oh, Jesus would never ask that. I seem to remember a rich young ruler one time that Jesus said, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me. The question is not what is God calling you to do. The question is whether you will make yourself available to it. That's the question. I'm going to tell you a thought that was put in my mind. I don't remember who it was. Someone put this in my mind several years ago. But let's take a moment here and let's imagine that we all live in Michigan. Okay, and it's really cold outside and there's snow and all that other stuff. But we live in Michigan. And let's say that God has placed it upon all of our lives that we're going to up and move, every single one of us, to Alachua County, Florida, because it's a very dark place in the state of Florida. And we're all going to move to Alachua County, Florida, to reach Alachua County with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would you do? How would we go about that? Well, we'd say, you know, we need to get together several times a week to encourage each other, to pray for one another, to lift each other up, to be equipped. Hey, that's what we do now, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible studies throughout the week. Then we'd say, well, you know, we shouldn't all live in the same area, because then the tendency will be we just want to spend time with each other, not reach our neighbors. So you know what we do? Well, some of us will live in Monteoka, some of us live in Brooker, some of us will live in Gainesville, some of us will live somewhere else in Gainesville, some of us will live in Alachua, some of us will live in Turkey Creek, some of us will live in Turkey Creek Forest, some of us will live in Lake Butler, some of us will live all over. Wait, we already do. We already do. And then we'd say, well, you know, we need some people that are retired, that can reach retired people. Oh, wait, we got those already. And we need some people that work, but we can't all work in the same place. We need people that work, you know, maybe work down at the university, maybe people that work over, you know, in the beef research unit over there. Maybe we need people that work in logging. Maybe we need people that work for insurance. Maybe people that work in landscaping. Maybe people that are salesmen. Maybe people that are engineers. Oh, wait, we already have all that. And we would need some young moms that could reach out to other young moms and share the gospel with them. Oh, wait, we got that. And we'd need some teenagers and some kids that could reach out and share the gospel with the people they play baseball with and soccer with. Oh, we already got that. Don't you realize that God has already brought together the perfect group of people to reach Alachua County? The reality is, Isaiah was not called to a foreign mission field. Isaiah was called to go back home. Think about it for a minute. If we live like missionaries in our own county, what difference would it make? If we all said, you know why I live where I live? It's because my neighbor is lost and God has placed me in their life to reach them. The reason I work where I work is because my coworkers are lost. The reason I go to that gym because the person that I work out next to every morning is lost. The grocery store I shop at is because the clerk that always checks me out is lost. Let me give you a thought. Our attendance is down a little bit today, but if you think about a normal Sunday crowd here, we got 100, 120 people. Do you realize that's how many people it took to change the entire Roman Empire in less than one generation? How many people were in the upper room at Pentecost? 120. And what happened in 40 years? The entire known world had heard the gospel. The entire known world. Now you look at us and all the Christians in this community. And we can't even reach Alachua County. Now that means something. That means one, either God has changed, and he hasn't, or two, the problem lies with us. And I would submit to you, the problem lies that we have sin that we will not repent of, and we will not surrender to what the Lord would have us do. Yeah, that's my question for you. Would you say, here I am? Would you say, Lord, here's my workplace, here's my job, here's my home, here's my car, here's my money, here's my time, here's my hobbies, here's my family. Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Send me. Amen.